Greetings everyone, this is Samuel Chetty again from the blog Victory of the Eons. In this audio, I'm going to continue the discussion from the last audio on the subject of the believer's body being the Holy Spirit's temple. And I want to talk about why the Apostle Paul invokes this principle to condemn one particular type of sin, namely immoral sexual intercourse. So to start, I want to read a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll start reading at verse 16. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? So, the key point in this passage is the principle of becoming one flesh. And sexual intercourse is the only thing that can cause a man and woman to become one flesh. And I want to talk about how in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says that man will cling to his wife and become one flesh. And to back up a little further to look at verse 22, when it describes how Eve was created from Adam, in most Bible translations, it says that God took a rib from Adam and created Eve from that rib. However, the concordant literal Old Testament, which is one of the most literal translations, says that God took an angular organ from Adam and created Eve. And Martin Zinder and Clyde Pilkington have talked about the etymology of that term angular organ, and I'll post links to their videos in this post. But what they have said is that the etymology of that term is suggestive of female sexual anatomy. And the idea here is that Adam was created both male and female, but God took the female organs from Adam and created Eve from those organs. And thus it can be seen why the Bible describes sexual intercourse as making a man and woman one flesh, and that through sexual intercourse, humanity is returned to its original state, in a sense, in that humanity becomes what it originally was, and therefore it reaches the core of human existence, and thus, I believe, carries not only physical but also spiritual significance. And because of that power in sexual intercourse, that's why the Bible puts some regulations on it. Also, I want to talk about John chapter 4, verse 24, where Jesus said that God is spirit. So, with that in mind, that God being spirit, it's interesting that Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 said that God created male and female in his own image, which thus implies that there is a connection between sexuality and spirituality. And so, I think it's important to realize this unique nature of sexual intercourse because what I see a lot in Christian teaching is that a broad category is created that includes things like dating, romance, romantic feelings, relationships. And then in the middle of all this, sexual intercourse is sort of put in this big pot along with a lot of other things. And then it's covered by this broad umbrella term, sexuality. But I really think that that obscures the issue because where the Bible is concerned, sexuality is about becoming one flesh. That's the key principle. And I feel that the reason a lot of Christians struggle with excessive sexual temptation is because they don't really understand what's going on. It's kind of murky and ambiguous. And as I discussed in the last audio, passages like 1 Corinthians 6, which are used to condemn immoral sexual intercourse, Christians use those passages to condemn a lot of other things that are not even sexual in nature. So I really think that that ambiguity is the reason why so many Christians are struggling with excessive temptation on the issue of sexuality. I had a math professor once. I know this seems like a big change of topic, but I had a math professor once. I was taking his linear algebra course, and he conducted the course in a very unusual way in that he had no textbook for the course. All of the material we would learn would come from the lectures alone. His thought was that textbooks make things way too complicated, that you have these books with hundreds of pages of information, but yet people can read all of that and still not know the fundamentals because they just get lost in the sea of information, some of which is not critical to the core principles you're learning. And in his lectures, he would only give one example to illustrate a mathematical concept. And his philosophy was that if you could thoroughly understand that one example, know everything about it, know everything about how it works, that you could then remember it, apply it on your own, and you would not have to see a whole bunch of examples. Well, this made me nervous at first, because I thought, uh-oh, if there's no textbook for the course, what if I don't understand the lectures? I won't have a reference to fill in the gaps. And I was worried about his use of only one example in the lectures, because I thought, you know, what if I don't understand it? Because normally, the way I learn in classes is to compare examples and learn things by doing that. So I was worried about this professor's approach. I thought, uh-oh, this could be a problem. But it turned out the professor was right. With his way of teaching, I had a more thorough understanding of linear algebra than I probably had in any other math class that I had taken. And I think that this principle applies to Christian teaching on sexuality as well. We need to start with the fundamental, which is about becoming one flesh through sexual intercourse. And then once that's understood, then you can branch into other topics such as relationships or matters of one's personal life and discuss what biblical passages could we apply to such topics. But it's important to keep that distinct from the Bible's teaching on sex. So, that concludes this audio series. I hope that this has been helpful. As always, feel free to comment, let me know what you think, and thank you for listening.